Matthew's Gospel and chapter 6, the first book of the New Testament, page 811. And once you have that, if you would also take up one of these books of forms and confessions and turn to page 54, you will find the words of Lord's Day 50 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Again, we are working through the different requests of the Lord's Prayer, and we come today to the fourth request. And so the question there on page 54, what does the fourth request mean? Give us today our daily bread means, do take care of all our physical needs, so that we come to know that you are the only source of everything good, and that neither our work and worry nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. And so help us to give up our trust in creatures and to put trust in you alone. And as you look at Matthew 6, you will see from verses 9 through 13 that the Lord Jesus taught the words of the Lord's Prayer, saying, pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, as you read through the familiar words of the Lord's Prayer, you will notice that the first three requests are all God-focused. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. But now as we come to the fourth request, we come to the first one that has to do most directly with us. Give us this day our daily bread, and then forgive us our debts, and lead us not into temptation. And some have wondered why the first us request is about daily bread, and not about forgive our debts, and lead us not into temptation. Are not the forgiveness of sins and being kept from temptation more important than daily bread? But of course, if you think about this for a moment, who is it that hallows God's name and obeys his will and forgives other people better? Someone who is alive or someone who is dead? Of course, that's not a trick question. Obviously, it is those who are alive who are the ones who hallow God's name and obey his commandments and forgive others. In Psalm 30, the psalmist prayed, what gain is there in my destruction and my going down into the pit? Will the dust praise you? It is the living who praise God and obey God and forgive others. And of course, in order to remain alive, we need our daily bread. That's why the priority is given to this request in the Lord's Prayer. So basically, with this request, we believers are asking the Lord to keep us alive so that we can continue to serve him. Or if we turn it around and look at it from the perspective of our Savior, with these words, the Lord Jesus teaches his people to pray for their daily needs. And there is much we can learn as we think about the detail of this request for daily bread. But before we look at the detail of the word of this request and what it reveals to us, let's step back for a moment and think about the biblical background to this request, the biblical background. And to do this, we have to go way back into the very early chapters of the Bible, in fact, to Genesis chapter 3. If you are familiar with the story of Adam and Eve, then you will know that they disobeyed God by eating the forbidden fruit. And you will note that I didn't say the forbidden apple. You might have heard many people refer to the apple, but the Bible does not mention an apple. It just mentions fruit. So Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit. After they had done that and realized that they were sinners, they heard the sound of God walking in the garden and they hid. But God called them out and he came to speak with them about the consequences of their sin. I'm just going to read a few of the words of the Lord and I want you to listen to the words that I emphasize in what the Lord said. Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. So three short points as we think about those words. First of all, the punishment fits the crime. The crime was to do with eating. And so much of what the Lord says to Adam and Eve has to do with eating. Secondly, the curse was about the effort required to get bread. From now on, food will not just fall off trees, as it were. You're going to have to work very hard to get your food because the ground is going to be cursed ground. No longer is it going to be maintenance-free and naturally fertile. You will have to work very hard and sweat to get your food. And of course, every gardener and farmer among us is going, I know what that's all about. But that leads us into our third point, which is that even though there is painful toil and thorn and thistle and sweat, it will still produce food. Even though mankind have become rebellious, guilty, undeserving sinners, yet God promises to provide the daily necessities of life. Life will go on. Now, as we think about this a little more in the context of God's words there in Genesis 3, there is a physical reality to his promise, but also a spiritual reality. The physical reality, as I just said, is that God promises to provide his people with the basic necessities of life. Life will go on. And we're going to say more about this when we come to the detail of this request of the Lord's Prayer. But there is a spiritual reality to this promise as well. What is it that sinners like Adam and Eve and like you and me really need? What do we really need? Think back to God's original warning to Adam before he sinned. Do not eat from that tree. The day you eat from that tree, you will surely die. So prior to eating the fruit, Adam's destiny was life. Now that Adam has eaten the fruit, his destiny is death. And while physical bread can delay death, it cannot solve the problem of death. Death will come for all men and for all women. Ultimately then, what Adam needed was spiritual bread. Adam needed something that could deal with the spiritual situation of his soul. Adam needed spiritual bread. So can you see where this is leading? What was that hymn that we sung towards the beginning of our service? Bread of heaven, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. They're being pointed to the Lord Jesus. In John 6, as he was talking to a crowd, he said, "For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. For this is the will of my Father in heaven, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day." What we most need is Jesus, the bread of heaven. We need to be united with the Lord Jesus Christ through saving faith. And this happens as we believe in him for the forgiveness of our sins. So that's the request for daily bread's biblical background. Now we turn our attention to the details of the request for daily bread. And there are four brief things that we want to note as we consider just this very short little sentence. The first is that it is a request for bread/bodily needs. The second is that it is a request for basic bread. The third, that it is a request for baked bread. And the fourth, that it is a request for bread for the body. Let's look at each of these. First of all, it is a request for bread/bodily needs. The exact words of Jesus are, "Give us this day our daily bread." But when we looked at the catechism answer before, it expanded this out to all our bodily needs. Is that warranted? Is that what Jesus had in mind? Well, as a general rule, if you are without air for 3 minutes, you die. If you are without water for 3 days, you die. You can survive without food for 3 weeks before you die. So it's pretty clear that air and water are very important. If you come across someone lying on the ground, slowly turning blue because they can't get enough air, don't make them a nice piece of Vogel's toast with peanut butter and say, "There you go." They need air. They need air. So we need more than just bread to survive, but we see that all of our bodily needs are in view as we go just a few verses further on in Matthew 6 to verse 33. There Jesus urges believers to seek first the kingdom of God. And that phrase reminds us of the first three requests of the Lord's Prayer. "Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done." That's basically what it means to seek first the kingdom of God. Well, immediately before that commandment, to seek first the kingdom of God, look what Jesus has just been saying in verses 31 and 32. He's told believers not to be anxious about what they eat, about what they drink, and about what they wear. He says the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Eat, drink, and wear. This clearly is a request that the Lord would provide us for all things necessary for life. This is a request for bread/all our bodily needs. Secondly, though, note that it is a request for basic bread. Jesus surely could have said, "Give us this day our wine and our cheese and our long-filled cream donuts and medium-rare fillet steak." But he did not. He said, "Give us this day our daily bread." One of the most ordinary staples of life. And Jesus could surely have just said, "Give us bread." But he said, "Give us this day our daily bread." He urges us to seek just what is needed for today. So let's conduct a little thought experiment for a moment. Do you think this request of the Lord's Prayer is prayed the most of all our requests, or the least? Now, you could probably make a good case for saying it's prayed the most of all our requests, because as you listen to our prayers, we generally list a lot of things that we want from the Lord. We want a nice day, and we want safe traveling, and we want to pass our exam, and we want this person to be well, and we want secure employment, we want help with this task, etc., etc. Long lists of all of the physical things that we want from the Lord. But on the other hand, thinking back to what we just said about this request, as a request for basic bread, just what is needed for today, a good case could be made for saying that this request is one we pray the least. Can you remember the last time that you prayed with any urgency for enough bread for today? Oh, to be sure, we pray with urgency when tragedy comes into our lives, but days can go by, can't they, when we really don't feel a pressing need to pray for daily necessities. One of the handouts in the newspaper this week, there was an advertisement for the Global Food Shopper Tour. You pay $195 a person, and a well-known chef takes you to the food shops where she gets her favorite ethnic foodstuffs, with each month's tour focusing on a different ethnic region of the world. And the tour ends with lunch and a glass of bubbly. Contrast that with the account of a group of malnourished children who were rescued from a prison camp after World War II. They were given lovely food and they were washed and cleaned, but they had trouble sleeping. The problem was eventually resolved when they gave the children one piece of bread at night time, not to eat, but to hold on to. Then they slept fine. After many months of not knowing if there would be food tomorrow, they could go to sleep because they had at least one piece of bread in their hands that they could eat tomorrow. Do you have any trouble sleeping because you do not know if there will be food to eat tomorrow? Probably not for most of us, if not all of us. So we read from Proverbs 30 a little while ago, "Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise I may have too much and disown you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' As I am on my $195 a person global food shopper tour." Not that such a tour is wrong in and of itself. I suspect most of us, if not all of us, are probably in that first category of having plenty of food, such that we are then in danger of disowning the Lord, forgetting the Lord.
of not seeing it as necessary to ask Him for our daily bread.
Well, believer, the Lord Jesus has promised that He will give you what you need in order to carry out His work. So with this request, your Savior is teaching you to point to that promise and to pray that your Father will give you what you need. It is a matter of trust and obedience to come to God and to request from Him your daily bread. But note thirdly that it is a request also for baked bread. Don't get too caught up here on whether bread in New Testament times was actually baked or not. That's not the point. The point I'm making with this point is that I'm not talking here about manna that just sort of miraculously falls down from heaven. We're talking here about bread that someone needs to spend time baking. And if you want some, you have to spend some time working to earn money so you can buy it. If you're going to pray this request with sincerity, you must be willing to work. This teaching is made plain in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Turn there in your Bibles, please, page 990. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Page 990. So the Apostle Paul is dealing with a problem of laziness, a refusal to work in the church of Thessalonica. And if you look at verse 7, he says, "For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you." And then down to verse 10, "For even when we were with you, we would give you this command, if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat." There were people in the Thessalonian congregation who refused to work, but they expected that others in the congregation would feed them, or the deacons perhaps would make sure they got food. But Paul says, no, if anyone is unwilling to work, let him not eat. Of course, this highlights one of the problems with any welfare system that does not have a "if you're unwilling to work, you will not eat" basic principle. Such a system makes it possible for people who are unwilling to work to eat. Someone's got to pay for it. The Spirit of the Lord through Paul says, no, no, no. If anyone is unwilling to work, let him not eat. So to pray this prayer with sincerity, you must be willing to work. And yet, as a kind of a necessary balancing point to the one we have just made, don't forget that the Lord is teaching you here to pray. Yes, you are to work, and you are to work hard, but food is not some sort of automatic compensation system that just happens because you work and has no place for God in the transaction. Jesus is not teaching us to pray to our employers for our daily food. James 1:17 says, "Every good and perfect gift comes from our Father in heaven." The Lord Jesus does not want us to see our daily food as something we deserve by automatic right, but instead as a good and perfect gift of our Father in heaven, for which we should be thankful. The Lord Jesus taught us to pray for our daily bread, as the Catechism answer explains, so that we come to know that God is the source of everything good, that neither our work
nor our worry, nor God's gifts can do us any good without His blessing. The Lord Jesus would have us to work and to pray. So this request is a request for bread / bodily needs. It is a request for basic bread. It is a request for baked bread. But fourthly and lastly, it is a request for bread for the body. When I say body, I don't mean your physical body. I mean the body of Christ, your brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus did not teach us to pray for my daily bread. He taught us to pray for our daily bread. So part of the way that we love our neighbor, as Christ has commanded us to do, is that we pray that the Lord would provide for their bodily needs as well as our bodily needs. And this is one of the special joys of our congregational prayer and our prayer times in our fellowship groups and our prayer time at our prayer meeting that we hope to have this coming Friday. The privilege of being able to pray for each other spiritually and physically that the Lord would provide. Another part of the way that we love our neighbors is through generous giving to those who are in need. A few moments ago, we read from 2 Thessalonians about the problem of lazy people being unwilling to work. Well, in Ephesians 4, verse 28, there is a very similar command aimed at believers who used to be thieves. We read, "Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone who is in need." So we work not just so that we have enough, but so that others who may be experiencing a difficult situation in their lives may also have bread. And just in case you ever grow tired of this, of having to provide for others as well as yourselves, then remember the words of this poem penned by an author whose identity I couldn't track down. But he wrote these words, "Go give to the needy sweet charity's bread, for giving is living," the angel said. "And must I be giving again and again?" My peevish, petulant answer ran. "Oh no," said the angel, piercing me through, "just give till the master stops giving to you." This request is also a request for bread for the body of Christ, our brothers and sisters. I mentioned at the beginning of the sermon that the very first temptation experienced by Adam and Eve in the garden had to do with food. So when God came to rebuke Adam, the consequences had a lot to do with eating and with food. But God also made Adam and Eve a very beautiful promise. He told them that one day the seed of the woman would rise up and crush the head of the seed of the serpent. And several thousand years later, Jesus came to earth as a fulfillment of that promise. Do you remember the very first temptation that the devil set before Jesus? It had to do with food. He said to Jesus, "Turn these stones into bread." Jesus stood firm and trusted in the provision of the Lord. While Adam and Eve gave in to temptation and sinned, Jesus did not. So Jesus truly is well qualified to be the bread of life. The physical bread we eat is useful for our daily strength. Death comes to us all one day. That's why Jesus said, "Everyone who looks on the Son and believes in Him has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." So pray regularly, give us this day our daily bread, but be quick also to thank Him for providing all of your bodily needs, but most importantly for Jesus, the bread of life. Amen.
Let's pray. Our loving Lord and merciful Savior, we thank You for this instruction. We thank You for pointing us to Yourself as the bread of life. But we thank You also for pointing us to Your promise, which is that our Father in heaven will give us all that we need so that we may continue to seek first His kingdom. We pray that we might live by faith, that we might live in the strength of these words as we go into this work week. Lord, help us to be diligent workers and hard workers, but help us also to be fervent in our prayers. May we never forget You. May we turn to You each day asking, Lord, for everything that we need. Thank You for Your faithfulness and thank You for Your generosity. May we use it well to Your honor and glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.